In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about a mother's testament. I told you in my last talk that I have a book called Love Has a Price Tag, which is a collection of essays on different subjects, and one of them is about my little girl. She's not a little girl anymore. She's the mother of six children. But when she was just 21, on her birthday, I was reviewing those 21 years of her life, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. Before I do, I just want to read one quotation that I didn't fit into yesterday's talk about femininity. We were talking about the differences between men and women as defined by God rather than by the world. Michael Marshall, in his profound little book, Gospel Healing and Salvation, says, "Modern man is hung up on his identity with others in lengthy counselings. The Christian realizes that his true identity is a mystery known only to God, and that any attempt at this stage on the road of discipleship to define himself is bound to be blasphemous and destructive of that mysterious work of God forming Christ in him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Certainly the Christian does not define his identity by his actions. That is the very ultimate in Antichrist, for it is in effect saying that I am my own creator." And I have added this note, "Feminists, regrettably, ask us to define ourselves not as men and women, but as human beings, whatever that means, identified only by our function in society." One prominent Christian who is a feminist says that we are to rid ourselves of all gender-based categories. Well, I am a woman, and I'm very glad to be a woman. And perhaps the greatest gift of my life is having been both a wife and a mother, neither of which I could have been if I were not a woman. I called my daughter Valerie on her 21st birthday, and I found that she was chewing away on a prune and an almond, and she had just eaten her cracked wheat cereal breakfast with brewer's yeast drink and toast and grapefruit. Valerie was almost a fanatic on the subject of health foods back then, and she's still pretty strict about those things. She doesn't allow a lot of sweets for her children, and they do drink a lot of, they eat a lot of yogurt, and they eat cracked wheat cereal and all sorts of good things like that, you know, the kind of things that nobody's supposed to like because they're good for you. But there she was, sounding very buoyant and happy on the phone, thanking me for the blue outfit that I had sent her, telling me about her exams, talking about her graduation, which was coming up in 3 weeks, but then getting to the subject that was far dearer to her heart at that moment, her wedding, which was going to be taking place in 9 weeks. Her wedding, my little daughter getting married, it was very difficult for me to grasp the truth of that. I thought back to when Valerie was 6 years old. I was working at my desk one day in the jungle, and she came in, and she said, "Mama, I dropped 2 sucres into the rain barrel." A sucre is an Ecuadorian coin. "May I swim to the bottom of the barrel to get my sucres?" Well, I said, "Yes, you can put on your bathing suit." And so she put on her bathing suit and swam to the bottom of the rain barrel. I thought of how 6 years before that she had been born in the house of Nate Saint and Marge in Chelmeta, Ecuador, and how the day she was born, Atanasio, an old Indian, came to visit me and walked in the door, looked at me alone in the bed, and said, "Oh, did the baby die?" "No," I said, "she's right there in the box." And he turned around, and right beside him was this tiny new baby in a little crib. And he was floored to think that the child would not be in bed with me. He said, you know, she'll die. I said, she will? Why? He said, you don't have her in the bed with you. The demons will lick her. No, I said, I really don't think that's much of a danger. And then he said, oh, well, you foreigners. He said, if it were an Indian baby, the demons would lick her, but I guess demons don't lick foreigners. Then I thought about how I used to carry Valerie in an aparinga, which is the Quechua word for a carrying cloth. I learned from the Indians that it's much simpler to carry a child in a cloth slung over your shoulder than in your arms, and there was no such thing as a backpack or these carrying apparatuses that are available nowadays. And I thought how when she was very small, some of the Indian girls would come along and ask if they could borrow her for a while, and they would put the carrying cloth over their shoulders and lug her around happily. She spoke two languages when she first began to talk, and by the time she was three, she was trilingual. She played and swam and walked the trails and ate fish heads and went to slumber parties with the Indians. She came home one morning after one of these slumber parties, and I said, have you had breakfast? And she said, yes. I said, what did you have? Oh, soup. I said, what kind? Rat. Rat soup for breakfast. Then I remembered how every night before she went to bed, she had to wash her feet because she went barefoot every day, and she hated washing her feet. One night she was washing the supper dishes down in the river at sunset. She looked up at me and she said, it looks as though Jesus might come through there, pointing to the sunset. And if he came, then I wouldn't have to wash my feet, because he's so kind, he would wash my feet for me, wouldn't he? Well, all of those things I had in my memory as pictures, and I sat and pondered these things for a while after I hung up the phone. Then I went back and got out one of my journals and read over some things that she had dictated to me at my request. I kept an account of some of her doings with the Indians, and one fragment from the notebook reads like this. We got to a little pool, a little lake. Uba just got one fish with her hands. With a knife she whacked it, and then we went to get pitum, palm fruit. We got chicha, which is a manioc drink, where the little lake was. It was Ipa's chicha. She squeezed it for me into a little leaf because we didn't have any cups. At home we have cups. I was thirsty. Komi, Kinda, and I drank some. The rest didn't have any because there wasn't any left. Then we got the pitum and made a basket with some leaves, and then we came home. I saw wild pig and tapir footprints, and that's all. And one evening I overheard Valerie singing to her kitten, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like you. I thought of the times that she used to play house, which meant building little fires. I remember her building a tiny little fire for a pet woodpecker that she had because she didn't want him to get cold. I remembered how she learned to swing a machete, how she mothered a little boy whose mother had left for the day, took him into her hammock and comforted him, how she used to carry her dolls and her puppies in the aparinga, or the carrying cloth. Then I remembered starting school. We had home schooling, of course, and we began with first grade. I figured she'd had all the clay and various other forms of sandbox and play that usually constitutes the course of kindergarten. She had had enough of that with the Indian children. So we began with first grade. It was a bit of an uphill climb because we had no desk, no furniture, no place to put the school books, no way of keeping the Indian children from hanging over her shoulder, wanting to play with the crayons and the scissors and the pencils. But we managed. She went through 3 years of schooling that way, and then we came back to the States, and she went into the fourth grade. When she was 8 years old, I recorded this prayer that she prayed. Dear Lord, thank you for this sentence. There is a green hill far away where the dear, dear Lord Jesus was crucified. Jesus, you know that we don't understand your words, just like those people long ago when you told them you were going to come alive. They didn't understand. We're just like those people, so help us to understand. Help us not to lie and disobey and steal. Let's be sweet, and help me with my arithmetic tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. When she was 12 years old, she said to me, "I want to thank you, Mama, for my whole life. I want to thank you for all you've given to me and all you've done for me and all you've cooked for me." Well, that was more reward than a mother had a right to expect, wasn't it? Mothers never do what they do in order to be thanked. They do what love makes them want with all their hearts to do. Of course, for you mothers that are listening, I know and you know that there are many times when we're bone weary, tired behind the eyeballs. We've reached, we think, the end of our rope. We're discouraged. We feel very inadequate. Remember, the Lord is thy helper. Ask him to help you. Remember that as you pour yourself out for that child lives because you die. You are broken bread and poured out wine. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I was feeling on Valerie's 21st birthday that from this child, she had done all the giving and I had done all the receiving. Of course, that's not really the way it is it? We give, and they give, and we receive, and they receive. That's the way God appointed it to be. So I just wanted to give you those few little vignettes from Valerie's life, just by way of encouragement to those of you who are doing the job of mothering.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.